time to play King's Stupid. I'm William Van Dyke, and welcome to King's Stupid, the only show on Radio 4 that started 20 seconds ago. It's the comedy panel game that's known in Spain as El King Stupid, known in Japan as Teenage Fighting Robot Shape Changer Atari's Girl Panel Game, and known in Germany as Answer All Questions Immediately. So let's meet our guests. They're all in little tins, so I'll open them up. In the first one, the cute one from the Friday Night Armistice, Peter Bainham.
Hello.
So we can get to know a bit more about your tastes and aspirations, tell me, if you were an international baddie, where would you hide your secret base?
I think I'd have my secret base in Pontypridd in South Wales, because I think it would give a much-needed boost to the local economy. like I could employ X-miners to be my henchmen, and presumably there'd be some sort of news report on BBC Wales going like, Dim Thawr and a Pedwar and a Clywir and a massive missile pointed at America.
Right. Yeah. And if you had a tank full of deadly animals to drop people in, what animals would you have?
Poisonous cows, without a doubt.
Okay. Now, this tin contains actor and comic Simon Pegg.
Hello.
You've got a bit of tomato on you there, Simon. So, Simon, where would you hide your secret base and what's in the tank?
I'd have it in the Cotswolds. I disguise it as a massive cottage, about a mile high.
And what's in your tank, Simon?
I think I'd have to go for cats, William, because they can also be used as pets, and they're nice. I like cats.
Deadly was obviously the word you didn't hear there. That's fine. Okay. Having a bit of trouble with this one, I'll have a go at it with a chisel. Ooh. Well, I think I got most of her out. From Late Lunch, Sue Perkins.
Hello.
Sue, where would you hide your base and what would you put in the tank?
I wouldn't have to hide my base, I just build it in Croydon. And the thing about people from Croydon is you can build anything wherever you like, and they don't tend to take a lot of notice. In terms of animals, I would have two gerbils, a lady gerbil and a boy gerbil, and over a period of time they would breed, so that eventually the whole tank would be full of writhing gerbils. So that eventually two baby ones maybe would crop a nose and you'd suffocate. And I've thought about that quite a lot.
Thank you. And in this tin, journalist and man, Dave Green.
Hello. Oh, hello.
I see you're a budget brand, Dave. If you were a baddie, where would you hide your base and what goes in the tank?
I think I'd hide my base in my lower intestine and visit it using the miniaturisation technology that, as an evil genius, I would have invented. And obviously then intruders would naturally be repelled by my body's defences, like phagocytes and white blood cells.
OK, well, that makes four guests, and that is as many guests as we could afford. There they are, ladies and gentlemen. OK, in the first round, I'd like you to make up rhyming couplets to remember important dates and facts. For example, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Or, in 1997, there were 32 articles by Bernard Levin. Okay, you can confer, but bear in mind that you're competing against each other, so duh!
In 1999, the makers of Space 1999 are going to look pretty bloody stupid.
In 1492... a lot of other things happened as well, although we don't actually get to know about that, which just goes to show that history is a construct devised of disparate, supposedly significant events designed to bolster the rigidity of the current dominant system, that being capitalism. Doodly-doodly-doo. Thank you. Dave?
Oh, well, for every year, as long as I can remember, Christmas has been at the end of December.
In six, they'd never heard of Twix.
In 16, Jesus got his first BA honours in carpentry.
In 1994, Geoffrey Archer did not give money to a whore. That was true. That must be true.
Ring, ring.
In 1996, I lost my virginity. Hooray.
Around about, and I can't be specific, so please don't write in, around about 1328, a horse managed, quite accidentally, I should point out, to fall on Catherine the Great.
In 1989, I had sex for the second time. There's a rhyme.
In 1999, I'm going to have sex with a big equine. Just been promising
I'm
myself.
I'm back to Catherine the Great.
Any non-equine sex-related ones that we have?
No.
Well, in that round, I'm going to award Sue 1 point, Dave for a very useful one, 4 points, Nick can have 3, and Pete for his stamina, really, on the 1999 thing, can have 2 points. So, Dave, you won that round. For a bonus point, can you tell me your PIN number?
1492.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, now it's time for our biographies round. I will describe myself as a character from history, and you have to determine my identity. Okay, you ready? Who am I? I was the ruler of France between 1799 and 1815. British soldiers knew... British soldiers knew me by the nickname Boney. I haven't finished. I gave my name to Napoleon Brandy, the Rue Napoleon. De Napoleon in Paris... I'm not listening. And the Napoleonic Wars. My set of laws for the French state was known as the Code Napoleon. I hail originally from Corsica, the home of Napoleon. And shut up. And the psychiatric condition, shut up, known as the Napoleon complex, is named in my honour.
Napoleon.
Now, if you think...
Napoleon.
It's Napoleon.
If you think Napoleon. You know the answer...
Napoleon is Napoleon the answer.
Don't be afraid to take a guess now.
Napoleon.
You can buzz... now. Dave got there first.
I think it was Napoleon Bonaparte.
Can I just check the card? Yes, it is Napoleon. 2 points today. The next round is called William Van Dyke Plays Pop. I could now play you a jingle in which a big American voice says, William Van Dyke plays pop, but to be honest, I'd rather be torn apart by wolves. So I'm going to play some records, some well-known, some foolishly obscure, and there's a mystery in each song, which you're going to try and solve. Okay, listen carefully now to my 83rd favourite song of all time, I've Never Been to Me, by Charlene.
I've been undressed by kings, and I've seen some things that a woman ain't supposed to see. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me.
Okay, Charlene tells us she's seen things that a woman ain't supposed to see. Now, my question to Simon is, what are those things?
Godzilla.
I have to agree there.
This is rubbish, have you seen it?
She's too busy being undressed by kings to bother to go to the cinema and see Godzilla.
That's true.
Undressed by kings.
How many kings do you need to be undressed by?
About 30 kings all taking a different garment off.
Okay, any other things that women ain't supposed to see?
The bonnet of a car. Anything underneath the bonnet of a car. And the back of any electrical equipment.
The inside of my bedroom, apparently. I don't know whether there's a world... I mean, you can explain this to me if there's a worldwide conspiracy that...
No, it's just localised.
Quite difficult to persuade.
Really? It's localised in the area wherever you may be at that time.
In a shocking tale of the unexpected style twist, how about the exact manner and time of her own death?
Well, that's why they won't go into my bedroom.
There's all kinds of things women aren't supposed to see. There's the extreme ends of the ultraviolet and infrared spectrum. An entire series of Red Dwarf.
No woman's ever seen that.
Star Trek.
So you think there's a very good reason, though, why she's never been to her.
Why's
because
that?
She's not a place, so she can't visit it.
Mm. Have you not been to me? It's just. It's
I've been
business,
to you, but I've not
center.
Been to me.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps it's me, Arizona. another imaginative place name from those wacky Americans.
You have a bone to me.
welcome to me, Arizona.
Hi there, welcome to me.
Over there is us, and them's just over there.
Just next to you. Oh, you sure have got a pretty mouth. Oh, we gonna kill you.
Can't think why she's never been there.
Ride the piggy.
Squeal, piggy!
Well, the phrase springing to my mind is, stop all that now. And now pay close attention to No Surprises, sung by Tom York of Radiohead. Now, Tom tells us he doesn't want any surprises. Pete, what sort of surprises do you think he doesn't like?
I think the main surprise he doesn't like is when an over-enthusiastic fan has had himself decapitated and then had one of his mates hollow out his skull and put a radio in his head. See what I'm going on this? And then Tom York wakes up and there literally is a Radiohead next to him in the bed. Playing Melody FM on it, sort of like.
Which is a surprise. Stops that sort of disgusting nonsense now. Okay, anything other than.
He doesn't like it when people hide in his airing cupboard. And,
No, he doesn't like it when you hide in his airing cupboard.
All right.
The next record is Club Tropicana by Wham. Okay, Club Tropicana, drinks are free. Now, if the drinks are free, then, Dave, please tell me, with reference to Keynesian economic theory, how does Club Tropicana manage to stay open, then?
Well, this is a tricky one, although I assume that the drinks must be some sort of loss leader. Although they are free, they're used to entice customers into paying for more expensive things, like snacks or biscuits.
Mm. Isn't it true that the drinks are free, but he charges a lot to go to the toilet?
Yeah. Or, I mean, it might be
George Michael charges a lot to go to the toilet, I don't know.
I think he was charged for going to the toilet. Now, listen to Brimful of Asher by Corner Shop. Everybody needs a bosom for a pillow. It's easy enough to say, but how workable is it as a scheme? Sue, what are the advantages or disadvantages of this headrest chest concept?
Practically, it does disturb me, because if everybody needs a bosom for a pillow, you're just going to get a heap of people layered on top of each other. All in a large stack.
Okay, that's
I think the bosom pillows are part of Marks and Spencer's new range of sort of bedding made from body parts. Yeah. Quilts filled with the hearts of old men.
It's definitely time to move on now. We can now check how the scores stand at the moment. So Peter Bainham on 3 points, Sue Perkins on 4 points, Simon Pegg has 5, but in the lead at the moment with 9 points is Mr. Dave Green. Now, you like it in the lead, don't you? Feel pretty good about yourself. Bit cocky. Yeah? Bit top of the world. Well, let me tell you a story. Before the show, I went for a walk. I walked far away from here. I walked to a distant land. Long I roamed through mountains and deserts, until I came upon a broken statue. Two vast and trunkless legs of stone. And, all around it, nothing. Except a pedestal on which these words appeared. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look upon my large panel game score, ye mighty, and despair. So what I'm trying to say is, keep it in perspective. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, on with the fun. The next round is about small cars which are marketed primarily at women. Cars like the Metro, the Brava, the Panda, the Uno, and the Punto. Sue, what I want for my panel is bad names for small cars marketed at women. I'll give you one to start you off. The Nissan Swab. Anyone?
The Renault Candida.
Ford Viagra.
It keeps going all night or something.
The Vauxhall bitch. In a positive sense, I mean that.
Which positive sense is that?
Yeah.
Just as a positive term that women have reclaimed, I've just simply used it.
Like the song.
Help me out of here now.
The Daihatsu much too complicated for you to understand, love.
What special features would that car have then, though?
You'd open it up and it would just be full of, like, flashing lights and stuff, like nightlight, if you tell him.
This voice
and
is like,
now sit down, turn the key, mirror.
I thought the Volkswagen boyfriend, and then they could say, they could have an ironic advertising campaign that was, if only everything in life was as reliable as your boyfriend.
OK, well, 2 points each for that round, an extra one for Dave for bravery, I suppose. The next round will require each panellist to use the power of their mind. Obviously, we haven't required in any previous round tonight. I'll ask them to shed some light on a common problem. It's a sort of moral maze meets Jerry Springer, but with more fighting. So get your wisdom out, because the problem we're focusing on today is, what happens when a marriage loses its sparkle? What can you do about it? Simon, how would you spice up your marriage?
I would ask my wife to watch me having sex with other people over a period of 4 weeks. If she liked it, then we'd do it forever.
Would she occasionally join in?
If she wanted, that'd be great, yeah.
Even better.
Just say that didn't work. How would you...
On the off chance.
On the off chance, right. Just... So you feel you've got a fallback position. How would you spice up your marriage?
I would perhaps host a sort of 70s-style party where at the end of it, everyone got to put their keys in a bowl. And so that when everyone left, me and my husband would be able to just have a new key to look at. And that would while away about 5 minutes.
Have you ever been to those parties where everyone puts their wives in a bowl? And then you get to choose a wife, and then you get the keys to the car of the wife.
What's actually better is if you go to those parties where everyone throws their car into a bowl.
Big bowl, super bowl.
Yeah,
thing,
big bowl, yeah. I went to one where you throw bowls into a car. I'd spice up my marriage by sort of introducing surprising things, you know, because, you know, marriages get very staid. So you could go, you know, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just go back in and pour paint on your wife's face.
Smoothie.
Just an old romantic at heart, really.
Pete, what's your sexual status currently?
I'm white with a hint of apple.
Yeah.
Is that it, Pete? You happy with that? What,
yeah.
Any others?
Or, develop a mutual hobby, like urine testing, something like that.
Okay. I wish I hadn't asked the question. I think even the most cynical listener would have to concede we've solved marriage there. So, points then. Pete, I'll give you 1 point. Sue, I'm going to give you 2 points. Dave, I'm going to give you 3 points because you were the wisest. And Simon, I'm going to give you 4 points because you were the dirtiest, and that makes me hot. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to test my panellists' powers of observation. I'm going to play you what seems to be a normal piece of music, but I've hidden 4 chickens in it. Okay, they're not always easy to spot, but if you think you've found one, press your buzzer and say chicken. Can you find all 4 hidden chickens? Here comes the music. Well done, Sue. Well, more than 1 point. Well done, Peter. 1 point. You get nothing for a cow, Peter. Not in this game. Simon.
Chicken.
Yes, well done, Simon. 1 point. Okay. And now there's bonus points for anyone who can tell me where that 4th chicken was. Simon.
Was it playing the piano, William?
Correct! Okay, and thank you very much, Pierre. Excellent. The next round is about euphemisms. I'd like my panellists to work through the alphabet, providing an A to Z of euphemisms. Now, I'm going to periodically change the subject matter to make things harder for them. Okay, let's start with being dead. Let's have some euphemisms for that.
Alternatively healthy.
I didn't know we were doing impressions. Big in Tombland.
Buggered.
Can't quite make it into work today.
Driving an underground Miss Daisy.
Enjoying a successful weight loss program?
Effing hell, get me out of this box.
Okay, well,
you're obsessed with the idea of still living people being locked in woods 6 foot under the ground.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Perkins, your husband is gagged.
I think we've had enough of that, so we'll move on to werewolves for H. We were on to H, I think.
Horribly in need of electrolysis.
How?
Incredibly dangerous man-wolf combination, which is it's informative more than anything.
Yes, as a euphemism, it rather falls down on the job, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Likes to eat late.
Moon sensitive.
Now!
Man in a very poor costume.
What are we... Are we doing N now?
N, yes.
I don't know my alphabet, can I confess?
I thought you said Nan. In a very poor costume.
You're not aware.
It's a good way of squeezing two out of...
Yes, if the question had been, if a werewolf was going into an Indian restaurant, what was he most like?
I think that brings us neatly to O.
Ow. Yes. Four, Jenny Agutter was really gorgeous in the shower in American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Right, well, before we have any more of that, I think from Q we'll have a euphemism for a drunk horse.
Quinine equine.
Oh, you smart ass.
Red rum, white rum, any kind of rum.
Tipsy Equus.
Okay, I think we'll move on to Michael Caine for V onwards.
Very loud man. Why do I talk very loud?
Extremely wealthy cockney.
Yes, I will appear in any film as long as I can mandatorily say, bloody, bloody doors off.
Zulus. Bloody hundreds of them.
You did make it tremendously well done there. I think we'll award 4 points to Peter, 3 points to Dave, 2 to Simon, and 3 to Sue. And that was, in fact, the last round. So, before our big money prize supermatch goal run game, let's see what the final scores are. Just going to hit the button here, and the computer will come up in flashing lights. The just give me a few minutes to convey this
live
to my bit of paper.
The new Radio 4 panel game.
Don't, whatever you do, shout out other numbers that would come.
Okay. Well, that is interesting.
You could have just made it up.
Who cares? There are people sitting at home wanting to know who
people
won this
People writing
game.
For weeks.
Dear King Stupid,
you head
your
boy at your
wrong.
School, William.
See, it's spoiling the suspense, but you're actually this week's winner. I'm going to change that now.
No, I won't.
No, I won't, because it wouldn't be responsible.
It would be immoral, wouldn't it, head boy?
Quite. I wouldn't be able to look my prefects in the eye. So, let's see what the final scores are. In fourth place, which is last, is Dave Green with 17 points. In third place, still below average then, is Simon Pegg with 20 points. In second place, still not quite winning, still failing really, is Peter Bainham with 23 points. And this week's winner with 24 points is Sue Perkins. Now, Peter, you came second. So.
This reminds me.
So that means you get a chance to win some of our big Radio 4 prizes on the conveyor belt. So let's start up the conveyor belt. Peter, You have to remember every item that's on it. Okay? Keep watching. Remember, everything you can remember, you win. All right, Peter, what did you see?
Okay, milk jug with a hand in it. some wee. cuddly virus. A little conveyor belt on top of it with another little conveyor belt, sort of Russian conveyor belt thing.
Next to that.
A signed hologram of Big Daddy's last fight.
Absolutely. You can enjoy that at home now.
Yeah, that's good. Trevor McDonald's reflection, but not attached to a mirror.
Yeah. come on, help him now, help him.
Aluminium crab.
Pardon?
Aluminium crab.
Next
cake,
to the crab?
Oh, Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah. The one who helped Jesus carry the cross.
There was a photo of Basil Brush's ex-wives.
Yeah. A bulb stuffed with really old meat.
Indeed. That's going home with you tonight. Anything else?
The Taj Mahal.
A basket of crazy words, sort of Bardos, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Yeah. Neatly arranged with flowers and pasta.
That's yours. That's yours. There were two
laughing.
Other things. Two other things, or were there?
A corn effigy of Michael Barrymore.
And it was a corn effigy of Michael Barrymore.
That's it.
Oh, just in time. So, excellent, Peter. You are the luckiest boy man in the world. Tremendously well done. OK, all the other contestants, could you just join hands? Join hands, please, now. Yep. Great, that means none of you will go home empty-handed. Good night, everybody! That was King Stupid, presented by me, William Van Dyke, and featuring Dave Green, Sue Perkins, Simon Pegg, and Peter Bainham. It was written by Andy Riley and Kevin Cecil, and produced by David Tyler. The agricultural story editor was Simon Wilkins, and the programme was a positive production for the BBC.